Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you all. I paying attention to the announcements this morning just made me think that much more of our brother who's not feeling well today, Brother Joe Turner. I miss him when he's not here, and I know he misses being here. And I know most of you in this auditorium this morning have known him a lot longer than I have. I remember the first time that I met him, I thought, wow, he's a little gruff, a little hard. But I think if you tell by the card that was written, he's very soft on the inside. He is a man who loves the Lord, and he loves you. And so I want us to be mindful of him. I know Ron has described him as the best friend he's ever had. And I know why he's that way. I want you to be mindful of one another. I forgot to mention to David that Brenda Cavender is also out of town. She is in watching grandchildren today over on the other side of the state. And so be thinking of her as well. But I want you to consider something. If I hold this book up, can you tell me what it is? No, it's my songbook. I saw people mouthing it was the Word of God. If I hold this book up, you can tell by the number of tassels that I've got on here, the bookmarks I've got. This is my Bible. How familiar are you with your Bibles? This morning I want to begin a two-part lesson. We'll look at it this morning, and then this evening we'll look at the second part of it. And we're going to talk about our Bibles, but we're going to talk about it in the sense that what we need to do with it. We need to spend more time in it. We need to make daily Bible reading a habit. And I'm going to use a different word this evening to describe this habit. And I want to use it in a positive way. I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you about it, because when you hear the word, at first you think of it in negative terms. And tonight we're going to talk about making daily Bible reading a habit, but becoming addicted to the Word of God. And I want you to consider that while we're departed and away from each other after this morning's service. But tonight, or this morning, we want to talk about the Bible itself. We want to talk about why daily Bible reading, or why we need to make daily Bible reading a habit. And this may seem like a very basic lesson, and I believe that it really is. But it's something that every now and then we need to remind ourselves of why the Bible should be so important to us. And I want you to consider some thoughts from people from the past. John Quincy Adams is one that I want you to consider. He said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." This is a former president of our nation that esteemed Bible reading as something that was very important to him. And he said he read through it once a year. Now, I know that in our bulletin, on the back page, we have a daily Bible reading schedule. And actually, it's not a daily Bible reading schedule. It's a five-day-a-week Bible reading schedule. It will allow you to read through the Bible once a year. I want to propose to you that that's not enough. That's good. It's a good starting part. It's a good starting point. But I'm not sure that that's really enough for us to be able to say, well, I read through the Bible once a year, every year. Are we really spending time in God's Word like we should if we're doing that? Bible reading schedules are wonderful. They help us maintain a certain pace through the Scriptures. But if that's all we're doing, then we're not spending time studying God's Word. And we're not talking about studying God's Word necessarily this morning. But we need to do something else other than that. Talking to my youngest son this past week, he said to me something that I had not heard before. I guess this is just a more modern term for it. And there are Bible reading schedules out there that will help you do what he said he's trying to do. He said, "I'm shredding." I said, "What?" "Yeah, I'm trying to read the entire Bible in 60 days. Well, if you read the entire Bible in 60 days, you're going to be spending a lot of time reading. That might not be a good place to start for somebody that's never read the Bible before. Reading through it once a year on an even plan would be beneficial to them. But for those who are a little bit more mature in their faith, reading it more often should be something. This next gentleman is a German gentleman who founded a lot of orphanages. And his name is George Mueller. And what he says is, I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I have been a lover of the Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read through the Bible 4 times a year in a prayerful spirit, to apply it to my heart, and to practice what I find there. I have been for 69 years a happy man. Happy, happy, happy. Phil Robertson, a duck commander, you don't have anything on this guy. He was happy, happy, happy before you ever said it. But consider that there have been men in the past, and I believe that the men and women of this congregation esteem this book we call our Bibles to be and to at the level that it should be. But can we lift that level a little bit? Well, I think we can. All of us can. Well, you say, well, Brian, that's not fair. You spend more time and you have more time to do that than we do. And I understand time is a factor. We are creatures of time, and I'll talk about that here just a little bit in this lesson. But what we make a priority, when we make it a priority, when we make it something that is very important to us, we'll make the time during the day to do this. We'll set aside more time to be with God. These men spoke of a habit of Bible reading. This is a habit which I believe many great people of the past engaged in, and many people do it today. However, what I fear and what I see more often than not, and I'm brushing with a broad stroke right here and going clear across the entire, quote, religious community, more people want to be fed by someone else than to feed themselves. And therefore, they're not spending enough time with God's Word. They're not developing the habit of daily Bible reading. They may have made a New Year's resolution that that's what they were going to do. Now, think about this for just a moment. This is the second Sunday of March. We're now into our third month of this year. Where are you in your daily Bible reading? You know, a lot of individuals start out the year making resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym. What happens by March? They're not going to the gym anymore. Has you done the same thing with your daily Bible reading? Consider that for just a moment. And we all just need to look inward and think of that. But when we make this a priority, then we might develop the attitudes of a couple other people from the past. Patrick Henry. The Bible is worth more than all other books which have ever been printed. Charles Dickens, an author, said the New Testament is the very best book that ever was or will be known in the world. What I want to suggest to us is the more time we spend reading it, the more value it or more valuable it becomes in our lives. It is there, just like was read to us this morning in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that this gospel, it is the power of God to salvation. And it's not just preachers that need to be preaching the gospel. It is every individual needs to be reading that gospel and allowing that power of God's Word to infiltrate their life. Because in it, the righteousness of God is truly revealed from faith to faith. In it, we learn that the just do what? They walk by faith. And we cannot walk by faith if we're not spending enough time with God and His Word. So why this lesson? Simply to impress upon us why daily Bible reading should be important to us. Why we should value it so highly in our lives. And there are going to be some things that we're going to look at this morning that should encourage us. And that's really what I'm trying to do with these two lessons, is just encourage each and every one of us to do more than we're already doing in reading God's Word. I know that at least one of our brothers in here has a daily, or not a daily blog, but has a blog that he writes articles. Maybe even has a little video about things in there from time to time. How's he able to do that? Because he's spending time with God's Word. And I want you to be considered of that, because Paul thought reading was important. Especially when he was instructed Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And that reading that I believe that the Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy to do was not just picking up a novel and reading it, but spending time with the Scriptures that were available to him and spending time there, because they are the things that are going to save them. I'm not trying to discourage any other type of reading, but what reading should be most important to us is the reading that we will do. God's Word, why? Because of the power that it has. Why read the Bible? Because it has the power to save you. It has the power to save the world. It produces faith in each one of us. You know, we read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, but if you go over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you hear there that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, there are two ways that you can hear the Word of God. One is by having someone proclaim it to you, and that's what the apostles did, and that's what Timothy would have done, and that's what we would do today when we preach lessons like this. But what we're understanding is you can also hear the Word of God, maybe not literally hear it being spoken to you, but you hear it when you read it and you pay attention to it. And it will produce faith. Why is that important? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 points this very fact out to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who occasionally seek him. No. Who diligently seek him. Put effort into it. Make it a priority. We know that without faith in Jesus, we cannot be saved. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins." Well, where do we find out about Jesus? You know, it's not just a song, "Jesus Loves Me," that tells us about Jesus. It is the fact that we spend our time in God's Word and we dive into it, because the Word of God was written for a purpose. John in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, says that the reason that he wrote the things he did was so that you might believe, and in believing, have eternal life. There's power in that word. Why spend so much time in it? Because God's Word saves us by causing us, moving us to be born again. Now, that was a discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Talking about being born again, being born of the water and of the Spirit. But the rebirth involving water and Spirit comes when one receives the incorruptible Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." And it's important to us to look at those things and to study those things. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's get you involved here just for a second in turning in your Bibles. Look at verses 23 through 25. pay attention to the writer here. And actually, let's begin at verse 22. It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord does what? Endures forever." You know what? You can take your Bibles and you can toss them on the end table, the coffee table, stick them on a bookshelf, never open them again. But guess what? It will still be there after you're gone, after I'm gone. The Word of God is that powerful that it will endure forever. God's Word then saves us by also keeping us saved. Consider that for just a moment. That in going to that Word and reading it, it will help preserve us. We talked about in the Bible class this morning about Jesus' prayer there in John chapter 17, and how he prayed for the preservation of the disciples, and not really only for them, but for those that would hear their word also. But this is something that the Word of God does. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. While you're doing that, I'm going to relate another story. Another preacher that I know, whose name is also Brian, posted something on Facebook not too long ago. "Do you have your Bible with you all the time?" I want you to consider that for just a moment. And I know that I have a smartphone. And a smartphone, there are different Bible applications that you can have out there. And you can have a Bible with you at all times if you want to do it that way. But how many of you have your Bible with you in your car? And I'm not talking about riding in the back seat. I'm talking about where you can access it or take it into a coffee shop with you and sit down and read it if that's what you want to do. Or you can take it in public. How many of you in the workplace take a Bible into work with you on a daily basis? You know, some people do. Some people will sit there on their lunch break or on their coffee break or whatever break they might have, and they spend time reading. But I want you to consider that one of the purposes of this word that we have is to keep us protected. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Paul spoke of the value of God's word to them about the past. He was reminding them of Moses and the children of Israel and the things that they did. Well, where was that recorded? It was recorded in Scriptures. And Paul refreshed their minds for this, and he said, "Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Scripture, God's Word, is written for our admonition. We think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we think about the inspiration of the gospel. Well, what is it profitable for? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Complete. But Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Why? Because those things that were written before were written so that we could learn from them. To Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, not just 16 and 17. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." What did John Quincy Adams love about the Scriptures? That the earlier his children started to read them. Timothy, you were taught those Scriptures. You began reading them from a young age. Why? "Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I left out doctrine when I quoted it a little while ago. But that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God doesn't want us to be half a Christian. He doesn't want us to be a quarter of a Christian. He doesn't want us to be three quarters of a Christian. What does He want us to be? He wants us to be a complete child of God. How do we become a complete child of God if we neglect God's Word? You see, it was the lack of God's Word. It was the ignorance of God's Word that destroyed, or was part of the reason, that Israel would go off into captivity. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. It happened to the children of Israel. It can happen to any generation of man that turns its back on God's Word. But I also want to suggest to you this morning, it's important because the power of God's Word provides comfort. Oh no. God's Word is harsh. It's restrictive. It doesn't allow me any freedom at all. But I want to suggest to you that it does. But the freedom that you look for is when you make those excuses for not looking at God's Word is that you don't want to do the will of the Father. But I want to also suggest in the same thing is that God's Word comforts us through the hope that it gives us. Why did the Apostle Paul write about Old Testament Scriptures the way he did in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4? Because he said, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The greatest comfort the Scriptures can provide for you is the fact that you have an eternal hope of eternal life. You have eternal hope because eternal life is offered within the pages of God's Word. It's important because of that very reason. Paul speaks in this context of the Old Testament. What was the purpose of the Old Testament? He says in Galatians, the book of Galatians, that it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Well, those people that he's writing to, that was available to them. We have it available to us in this book. Not my songbook, but in this book. But every time we open our Bibles, whether it be going to the Old Testament and seeing the foreshadow of things to come, there was hope in those words. And we have the hope and comfort of Scripture in the New Testament as well. It provides assurance of our hope because it tells how God always keeps His promises. That comfort, that hope, becomes an anchor for our souls. That's why it's so important to read our Bibles daily. God's Word comforts us through the happiness that it provides. Happiness through the stability and nourishment that it provides us. I want to go back and I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And I want you to listen to David just in the first three verses of this psalm. You know, I know oftentimes we say, well, blessed can mean happy, and I'm not going to dispute that. But I also believe that there's more to it. I believe that we are truly blessed through the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The prosperity of the soul, not simply the mortal man and what we gain monetarily, but the prosperity of the inner man, that should bring joy and happiness to our lives. The fact that we read Scripture daily, we find great comfort in it through hope, and that happiness comes to the one engaged in daily Bible reading, like this man says right here, like David says in this psalm, night and day. He's talking about a devotion to it. You know, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. The psalmist right here, when he's talking about delighting in the law of the Lord by night, or by day and night, could mean read without ceasing. Spend that much time in it. And understand that through the peace it gives, God comforts us through it. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. We live in trying times. We live in times where our faith is challenged. We live in times where it seems like natural disaster is part of it. Just this past week, tornadoes went through Tennessee, Cookeville, Nashville area. I know of at least 6 Christians who lost their lives in those tornadoes. But do you know that you can go to God's Word and you can be at peace with tragedy like that? Did you know that one writer said, better is the day of one's death than his birth? And I can find peace. I can have inner peace that surpasses what the world has. Inner peace, such a way that nothing causes us to stumble. In Psalm 119 again, verses 92 and 93, unless your law has been my delight, I would have then perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. How important is God's Word to the psalmist? How important is God's Word to each and every one of us? Robert E. Lee is attributed with a comment where it says, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. I don't know anything other than what history has told me about Robert E. Lee. I don't really know about what type of faith the man had. But I do know that the people of the past, have, when they make a statement like this, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength, I promise you, the more we read it, the more often that we're in it, we'll come away with attitudes like that. The Word of God will never fail us because it comes from God, who will never leave us. When you consider that, I know that much more can be said about the value of God's Word. But just one more thing here, and I want you to understand that we are creatures of habit and time. And as creatures of habit, sometimes we develop good habits, sometimes we develop bad habits. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about trying to make Bible reading an addiction in our lives tonight. But if we have not developed the good habit of daily Bible reading, how close are we to God? You know, I know through prayer we can draw near to the throne of grace. I know through prayer we can draw near to God and He'll draw near to us. But I would suggest to you the same thing is true of reading God's Word. It brings us closer to God. And making it that much more important in our lives is understanding that without daily Bible reading, without staying in God's Word, I may be drifting from Him. I believe that the Bible is the lifeline that we need thrown out to us daily. It is that power in that Scripture that lets me know that all the bad habits, all the sin that I've had from the past, God will forgive. And by His grace, we are all able to be saved because there is power in the Word that tells us about the power in His Son's blood. As creatures of time, we are subject to limitations. Time changes, like we've had last night. Cindy and I laughed last night at the girl on Channel 4029 News when she said, we get more sunlight today because time's changed. No, you don't. You have the same number of hours of sun today as you did yesterday when the clock was turned back 1 hour. Now, as you move out to the summer, the sun will stay up a little bit longer. But all you did was change the clock. You didn't change the amount of time the sun stays up. But I want you to think in these terms. Yes, we're subject to limitations. I do. I admit, I have more time than the quote, average Christian has when it comes to opening his Bible. But you know what? It would be just as easy for me to close my Bible and walk away from it as it is for you, if that's what you wanted to do. It has to become a habit. It has to be something that you want to do. And you make time for it. Why? Because the time that we have is only going to last for so long. Our lives are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how much longer we have to be able to devote to God and His Word and His ways. But as long as we live, we remember who we are and whose we are by spending more time with God's Word. So as creatures of both, if we have not developed the good habit of daily Bible reading, that time that we do have remaining on this earth will one day catch up with us. Will we have spent our lives on this earth without utilizing the benefits that God's Word provides for us? Many will have to face God, having never read through it one time. But let's not face God by not having read through it enough. You know, I could have presented this lesson at the end of the year and made it for a New Year's resolution. But I did it right here at this time of year on purpose. Because, like I said, a lot of individuals make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it every day or I'm going to do it so many days a week. And a couple months later, they've stopped. If you have stopped in any way, I want to encourage you, pick that Bible back up and get back into it. If you haven't stopped, I want to encourage you, do more. Because God's Word, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And we need to be those people who walk by faith. We need to encourage each other to make daily Bible reading one of the top priorities in our lives. so that we can apply it, so that we can live it, and so that we can be encouragers of one another to walk the path that leads to eternal life. Take out your songbook. By the way, that's this one, not my other one. I want you, if you're here this morning and you've never been a child of God, to understand that the words that are found within those pages of your Bibles point you to Jesus Christ, point you to the one who died for your sins, point you to the one who, by the power of His blood, can cleanse you from that unrighteousness. The apostles on the day of Pentecost stood up and preached Jesus Christ to these people. It pricked them in their hearts. It convicted them. That's what the Word of God will do. And if it has done that to you this morning, and you've never responded to the gospel, do it. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confessing before men. Be buried in baptism so that you can rise to walk in newness of life, and then never lay that Bible down again and just set it aside. But make sure that you go to it every day, because it will preserve your life now so that you can live eternally with God in heaven. If you've broken fellowship with the Father and you need the prayers of the congregation, we stand ready to assist you. But keep God's Word. Write it on your heart. But in order to do that, you've got to open it up first. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.